We all know from personal experience that time is relative. You don't have to be Albert Einstein to realize that an anxious period of time, like sitting in the dentist chair or the waiting room of a hospital, seems to go on forever and ever. While a good time, spent with someone you love, enjoying sports or recreation, seems to skip by almost in an instant. To a small child, waiting for Christmas seems like an eternity. While for us older folks, Christmas and all the other holidays seem to pop up faster and faster, year after year, as time itself seems to be accelerating. What's going on in a person's life can change the value and even the meaning of time. The lived experience of time is redefined by the context, by the who, what, where, and why of what is actually happening. All of this Sunday's appointed scripture readings can be understood as a challenge to you and me to reinterpret our time here on earth. In our first reading, the prophet Isaiah offers us some of the most beautiful and comforting words in the Hebrew Scriptures. The text proclaims that the pastime of longing and hoping is now about to end, while the promised future, so long anticipated, is almost at hand. The awaited time of liberation was dawning on God's people. The prophet is a kind of herald of good news, announcing the time of salvation. A voice cries out in the desert, "Prepare a way for the Lord. Make straight in the wasteland a highway for our God. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it." The prophet exults in his glad tidings. "Here is your God, the Lord appearing with power and glory." In our second reading from the second epistle of the Apostle Peter, we are given an explicit teaching on the difference between our human experience of time and God's perspective of eternity. As the apostle teaches, "With the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like only one day. Our time on this earth passes in an instant, while eternity, by definition, lasts forever and ever. The advent of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. The heavens will pass away in a mighty roar, and in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when the elements dissolve in fire. Christians are therefore called to live in this passing moment with hope and expectation for a new heaven and a new earth in which the righteous shall live forever and ever." Finally, in today's Holy Gospel, according to Mark, we encounter John the Baptist, clothed in his camel hair coat, preaching in the wilderness and living on locusts and honey. John was the messenger predicted by the prophet Isaiah, sent to go before the Lord and prepare his way and make straight his paths. John proclaimed a baptism of repentance for those who would be wise enough to seize the moment, acknowledge their sins, accept God's offer of forgiveness, and begin to live new lives. John announced the advent of the Lord. He is preparing the people, making them ready to welcome one mightier than he. Regarding the promised Messiah, John declared that he was not even worthy to assume the role of a slave, and untie the thongs of the Messiah's sandals. John baptized with water, but the Messiah would baptize with the very fire of the Holy Spirit. All three readings invite us tonight to put our faith in the unshakable truths of eternity rather than in the flimsy deceptions of racing time. The entire Advent season serves as a kind of wake-up call for the church. In our allotted time in this world, we should conduct our lives in holiness. In preparation for God's judgment, we must all be renewed. We need to renounce our sins while there is still time and accept God's mercy before the dawn of eternity. So Advent doesn't just prepare us to celebrate a long past event of the Lord's birth 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. This Advent is about this year of our Lord 2011 and a new birth of Jesus Christ in our lives. It is supposed to be a kind of springtime for our faith and a new grace commitment to bring Christ to everyone we meet, even to all the world. So this holy season is an opportunity to re-examine our priorities and make some choices and even some timely changes. Do we really need to be as busy as we are with all our electronic gizmos and gadgets and with so many distracting and unimportant virtual realities? Could we not all give a little bit more time to the people God has given us to love? Are there not real needs in our communities where we could make a difference? Do we have a gift that would help our parish, our diocese, the poor, or even strangers? Shouldn't we all spend more time in prayer and devotion, savoring the Holy Scriptures, praying the rosary, or just being quiet in God's presence, praising, thanking, adoring our good God, whose love truly is everlasting? At every Mass during this graced and privileged time we share together for worship, we have a taste, a kind of wondrous vision of our eternal destiny. In a certain sense, the Eucharist dissolves the distance between heaven and earth, between time and eternity, between God and man, between the individual and the community. At Mass, we cry out to Christ. We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again. For believers, this acclamation defines both our time and our eternity. Jesus is the Lord of our lives, the Lord of heaven and earth, the Lord of the now and the forever. In the sacrament of the altar, we are already richly fed and satisfied, even here in a world that will pass away. We are fed with the very bread that has come down from heaven that will never pass away. Jesus promised that if we eat this bread and drink this cup, we will live outside of time. We will live forever. And in the most holy Eucharist, truly and substantially, we begin our communion with our eternal God. So may this Advent Mass, this Altreia, the 1,000th, accomplish its great purpose. When Christ appears again in glory, may we enter joyfully into the paradise that is the bliss of God's everlasting love.